From WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
A driver faces serious charges after a high-speed chase through four counties came to a dramatic end. We're live with what we know about the driver.
Plus, computer systems are back online at 15 hospitals after an outage prevented new patient admissions. We're examining the impact on surrounding hospitals with UNC Health.
Also, it's the beginning of a new era for the Carolina Panthers. Just a short time ago, the new head coach and general manager were formally introduced. We're live at Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte, where it all took place.
We begin with breaking news in Raleigh. A portion of Atlantic Avenue is blocked by police after a shooting. Good afternoon, I'm Renee Chu.
And I'm Jeff Hogan. Raleigh police say that person who was shot is a juvenile. WRAL's Michelle McConaughey is in the WRAL Live Center following this breaking news. Michelle.
Yeah, Jeff and Renee, details are limited right now, but this is what we know. One person is in the hospital after that shooting near Atlantic Avenue and Otter's Run Court. That's in Raleigh. We know that that person is a juvenile that was shot. They do have non-life-threatening injuries. They were taken to the hospital. Police were also able to take another person into custody. This is video from Sky 5. You can see police tape up. You can see police are there on the scene. Again, suspect has been taken into custody. They say this is an ongoing investigation. As soon as we learn more, we'll bring it to you from the Live Center.
All right, thanks for that, Michelle. More breaking news now. A high-speed chase through four counties comes to a dramatic end.
The man deputies say was driving now faces a list of charges. WRL's Chelsea Donovan is on the scene. And Chelsea, you got an up-close look at the damage.
Yeah, absolutely. This was a chase that started around 10 o'clock and it went through four different counties, ending here in Wake County. We're showing you that vehicle right now as it's being towed off. Now, as I mentioned, this all started around 10 o'clock this morning. Edgecombe County deputies attempted to make a traffic stop because they say the man driving this vehicle was going more than 85 miles an hour through a work zone, but he peeled out and, as I mentioned, went through four different counties. That chase ended here on Lizard Lick Road in 264. Let's show you the Sky 5 video. Of course, this was a traffic mess. Troopers tell me Nash County deputies got to a speed where they could make a pit maneuver. Now, that's what deputies do to force a fleeing driver to turn sideways and stop the driver. We understand from troopers here on the scene that that driver was going in excess of 130 miles per hour at times, and of course some of that through a work zone. Now, let's show you some ground video of that suspect's car. Now, the suspect's car has the back, you can see, completely off of it, and that's because during the pit maneuver it did come off, disabling that car as well as a tractor trailer that was involved. Now, in terms of the driver, he's now in custody of the Edgecombe County Sheriff's Office, of course, facing a long list of charges, including speeding, careless and reckless driving, and failure to stop, as well as eluding arrest. That driver we know is 59-year-old William Williams out of Camden. We're, of course, working to learn a little bit more about what's going to happen to him in terms of the charges. But I do want to say, he, as well as the driver of the tractor trailer that you see down there and the Nash County deputy, believe it or not, no injuries here. But of course, this did cause a big mess here on 264 early this morning. Of course, we'll bring you more details about this high speed chase in our later newscasts.
A heart pumping ride for everyone involved. Chelsea Donovan live. Thank you. A driver is facing several felony charges after leading troopers on a chase in Raleigh that ended in a crash. This started when the car was speeding on I-40 near the Rock Quarry Road exit at around 1 this morning. The driver crashed on I-87 at the Pool Road exit and ran from the car. Troopers and Raleigh police were able to track him down and take him into custody.
Operations are back to normal at UNC Rex hospitals after a computer outage impacted patient services for 3 hours last night. WRAL's Shelley Jackson is live in Northwest Raleigh. And Shelley, any word as to what caused this outage?
Well, good afternoon, Jeff. We're told by a spokesman for UNC Healthcare that the network outage was caused by an unforeseen issue which happened during routine maintenance. We're told that that issue is not related to malicious activity. Now, that outage did impact 15 hospitals in the UNC system. Some computer systems were down for about 3 hours. Ambulances were diverted to other hospitals, but UNC did continue to accept walk-in patients. We have not been able to get a count on how many ambulances were diverted, but UNC says when a hospital in the Triangle has to go on diversion for any reason, other hospitals step up to help out. Affected IT systems began coming back online around 10:30 last night. UNC says all operations are back to normal today and that the IT team is working with vendors to determine the cause. And right now we are working to learn more about what caused this, how it impacted patients here at UNC and other hospitals, and why there isn't a backup system. Jeff?
Shelley Jackson live in Raleigh right now this noon for Shelley. Thanks for the update. Negotiations begin today between the government and Big Pharma for the prices of the 10 costliest prescription drugs covered by Medicare. They include drugs used to treat heart disease, certain cancers, diabetes, and other conditions. The negotiations are mandated by the Inflation Reduction Act as the Biden administration attempts to lower soaring prescription drug costs for older adults. Pharmaceutical companies have filed lawsuits claiming the negotiations are unconstitutional. The negotiations are set to last through August 1st before final prices are announced on September 1st, but they won't go into effect until 2026.
And happening right now in the WRAL Live Center, following some breaking news out of Nash County this afternoon, all of their schools are under lockdown because of a social media threat. This is the message that you'll see on the Nash County Public Schools website. They are under a soft lockdown. They explain what that is. They're on a soft lockdown, which means there's increased police presence around the school as well as inside the school. They say police are there. They're investigating right now, and they thanked parents for their understanding and support as well. We'll stay on top of this and keep you updated.
Michelle, thanks. Tomorrow will be a big day for the Durham School Board. It plans to meet to talk about options to fix ongoing pay issues. This comes after major protests Wednesday. Documents show one of the options being considered for Friday's special meeting credits classified employees for state experience only. There would be a minimum 4% increase to classified employees over last year. The second option implements an 11% salary increase over last year for classified employees, and last year's salary steps would be restored. A dozen Durham schools were closed yesterday as staff members participated in a sick out. The school board meets on this issue at 3 tomorrow afternoon.
A new partnership starts today to get more money to businesses, especially those that have black owners. The head of the Small Business Administration signed the document on the first day of Black History Month. It's a joint project between the government and owners of minority-owned companies. The SBA administrator says there is an intentional reason she chose to host this event in Durham.
There's been nearly 500,000, almost a half a million small business applications filed. And each one of those applications filed is a sign of hope and opportunity for communities to lift up and define our neighborhoods with the great shops and restaurants, as well as the innovators who are going to solve global problems.
And during that event at the Hayti Heritage Center, the CEO of an alliance of black-owned businesses told WRAL the biggest challenge he sees for small businesses is access to capital.
It's an exciting day for Carolina Panthers fans. A short time ago, the team's new head coach and the general manager were formally introduced at Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte.
Everyone is banking on Dave Canales to turn the team around next season. WRAL's Chris Lee was in the building when Canales talked about his timeline to win. Chris joins us live right now with the plans for the team. Chris.
Jeff and Renee, let's talk about the elephant in the room first. Just 366 days ago, January 31st, 2023, I was right here at Bank of America Stadium as the Carolina Panthers introduced their new head coach at that time, Frank Reich. And now a year later, Frank Reich is out of the building, and now another new head coach is in, and Dave Canales. Now, of course, before you had Matt Rhule, you've had Frank Reich last year, who didn't last about halfway through the season. This fan base is really wanting and itching for there to be some wins. This team hasn't had a winning season since 2017. They haven't won in the playoffs since 2015. But Dave Canales, even like the two head coaches before him, says that his timeline to win is right now.
My timeline's today. How can we win today? Let's have a great interaction here. Let's start talking about what football you can expect out of us. And so today this looks like a win for me. And that's just the way I think, just approaching every single day. It's first and 10. I got a new set of downs, my whole call sheet's at my disposal, and got a bunch of fantastic people to go to work with today. It looks like putting a great staff together for me right now. It looks like getting with Dan, looking at this roster, and really coming up with an airtight plan for who we want to become.
Now, one of the things I thought was very interesting about today's press conference from Dan Morgan, the new general manager, of course, he used to play for the Carolina Panthers, is that he said that now when teams pull up to Bank of America Stadium, they don't fear the logo anymore. He said when he played here in the early 2000s, teams feared the logo. That's what he wants to get back to, and he hopes that Dave Canales can be that guy as the head coach. He wants to be that guy as the general manager, and we'll have more for you guys at 4, 5, 6, 7, 10, and 11 tonight. From this great press conference here at Bank of America Stadium on the new direction of the Carolina Panthers.
No shortage of analogies there either, coming from the head coach. Chris Lee over in Charlotte for us today. We'll look forward to further reports. Thanks.
Today marks the beginning of Black History Month. On this day in 1960, four black students from North Carolina A&T State University staged a peaceful sit-in at a segregated lunch counter in Greensboro. They showed up day after day at the Woolworths department store, but were denied service. By February 5th of that year, hundreds of students joined the protest, paralyzing the lunch counter and other local businesses. That Woolworths in Greensboro is now the site of the International Civil Rights Center and Museum.
The Jackie Robinson statue that was stolen and burned will be replaced by Major League Baseball. MLB announced yesterday all 30 teams will join together to pay for the statue to be replaced. It stood in front of the League 42 youth baseball organization in Wichita, Kansas. In addition to the statue, MLB will also help upgrade League 42's facilities with new lights, turf for the fields, and updated academic facilities.
Next at noon, a crane collapsed, bringing down part of a building at an airport in Idaho. The deadly result, as well as how many people were injured.
Also, animal rights activists defaced a historic landmark in Rome. What they were there to protest.
And it's National Change Your Password Day. What you need to know about keeping your online information safe. Elizabeth.
It's a beautiful day across our area. Take a live look at Pinehurst. Plenty of people outside enjoying a little bit of golf this afternoon. We have more pretty weather in our forecast, but temperatures will be on the up and down. I'll show you a cold front that arrives for tomorrow coming up.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air, Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.
Take a look at the Dow Jones Industrial Average, up almost 200 points right now, thanks to a rally in some of the world's largest technology companies. Wall Street shrugging off Jerome Powell's message that a March Federal Reserve cut is unlikely. As we take a look at some of the other stocks as well, the Dow Jones and S&P 500 advancing 40 points. NASDAQ is up as well.
The White House says an umbrella group of Iran-backed militias conducted the drone strike on a base in Jordan Monday that killed three American service members. NBC's Keir Simmons reports from Iraq with the latest fallout from that deadly drone attack.
This morning, as the U.S. readies a multi-target strike against Iranian assets, it says an Iranian-backed group is responsible for the attack that killed three American service members. The U.S. is also renewing attacks against Iran's proxies on other fronts, hitting areas in western Yemen controlled by the Houthis. U.S. F-18s bombing, it says, 10 unmanned drones that were preparing to launch attacks and a ground control station. The Pentagon adding the targets presented an imminent threat to merchant vessels and the U.S. Navy ships in the region. Overnight, the U.S. destroyer USS Kearney also shooting down an anti-ship ballistic missile fired by the Houthis, along with three Iranian drones, according to the Pentagon. The National Guard now confirming at least 41 guardsmen were injured in Sunday's attack against U.S. troops on a remote outpost in Jordan. This, the moment President Biden called the parents of specialist Kennedy Sanders, one of the three killed.
We're promoting her posthumously to sergeant.
Oh, wow. The best news I've heard today. Thank you so much. You don't know how much that means to us.
Biden's response, when it comes, likely to target Iranian-backed militias in the region. The US has targeted these groups before, with little discernible impact on their behavior. Now, US officials telling NBC News to expect strikes on multiple places in several countries and locations, including cyber operations.
When you're talking about what we're anticipating here, which won't just be a one-off. As I said, the first thing you see will not be the last thing.
And the White House rejecting suggestions that the delay is allowing Iran and its proxies to prepare.
That's Keir Simmons reporting. The defense secretary spoke this morning covering questions about military involvement in the Middle East and his recent unannounced hospitalization. Secretary Lloyd Austin says he should have informed the president of his absence and apologized for not being more forthcoming.
It's more about privacy than secrecy. In my case, I should have informed my boss. I did not. That was a mistake. And again, I apologize to him for not doing so.
This was the first time Secretary Austin has spoken publicly since his hospitalization on January 1st. He was reacting poorly to a procedure he received in December to cure his prostate cancer.
At least three people were killed, nine others hurt when an airport hangar under construction collapsed. This happened Wednesday in Boise, Idaho. Right now, the cause of the catastrophe is under investigation. NBC's Aaron McLaughlin reports.
We have a structure collapse at the new hangar at Jackson Jet Center. Have one crane collapsed and I guess partial structure collapse as well.
This morning, authorities are investigating a deadly building collapse in Boise, Idaho that killed three people and injured nine others, five of them in critical condition.
It was a pretty global collapse that occurred. The main structural members came down. It was fairly catastrophic.
The initial call coming in Wednesday evening at a steel jet hangar owned by private aircraft company Jackson Jet Center. The building had been under construction within Boise Airport's airfield.
Holy sh-
Officials describing the scene as chaotic, with several fire engines and at least a dozen ambulances on the ground. Rescue teams making entry, pulling victims out of the wreckage.
We did have some that were challenging and that there was hoists and so forth.
Officials say everyone within the collapse area had been accounted for. The cause remains under investigation. The CEO of the Jackson Jet Center releasing a statement to NBC News, writing in part, "Our hearts go out to everyone affected by this horrific event. We do not know exactly what caused the hangar collapse. Our focus now is on supporting our team and partners during this difficult time."
That was Aaron McLaughlin reporting. The construction was not an airport project.
Animal rights activists targeted an iconic fountain in Rome to protest against the exploitation of circus animals. The man and woman threw yellow, red, and orange paint over the four lion sculptures there surrounding the fountain. The protest came months after a lion escaped from a circus near Rome, sparking panic in a seaside town before being caught. A police helicopter tracked that big cat in a field 7 hours later with the help of infrared sensors.
A stalled construction project has become the canvas for graffiti taggers in Los Angeles. Look at this, 25 stories of this downtown skyscraper covered in graffiti. The Beijing-based developer didn't have enough money to finish the oceanwide plaza, so it's been abandoned since 2019. It was supposed to be a billion-dollar retail and luxury apartment building. No one has been arrested in connection with the trespassing or vandalism, and police aren't sure how the taggers got up the building. Quite a systemic way of doing it. There was a lot of floors there with that graffiti.
Scary deal there, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Elizabeth Gardner's over in the WRO Severe Weather Center. Lots of sunshine out there. Your favorite club is out there on the field again.
It is. I love this. I'm going to try not to show it like every day at noon, but I do love it. All these guys come out here on the lawn right in front of the Deepak in Durham and play a little soccer on their lunch hour. And, you know, on a day like today, this is a fun one to take a look at. A little bit of a breeze. You can see the flags here flying in front of the Deepak. We'll see windier conditions tomorrow as a cold front comes through. But ahead of that, it's going to be nice and warm. Right now, it's 52 degrees. We're looking at high 58 this afternoon, which will be about 10 degrees warmer than we were yesterday for the high. 48 right now in Roxborough. It's 51 in South Hill, 52 in Southern Pines, 53 in Fayetteville, 48 in Rocky Mount. So anywhere from the upper 40s to low 50s currently, but that sunshine will continue to warm things up. And right now, it's 5 to 10 degrees warmer than it was this time yesterday. That should be about right. Again, looking at temperatures in the upper 40s to low 50s. Right now, looking at 58 in Raleigh, 56 in Durham, and 59 in Fayetteville for the high this afternoon. Here's what's happening as we get through the afternoon. Winds are shifting to southwesterly, and you can see how the southwest wind comes along with arrows that are shaded in red because it typically brings in some warmer temperatures. So we'll see that today and tomorrow. But there is a cold front that'll drop in on us as we get through the day tomorrow. It's likely to come through around lunchtime or so, but we'll not likely start to feel that really chilly air until the evening or overnight Friday night. So we're still expecting our high temperature to be nice and mild on Friday. Of course, once our wind shifts to northerly, it's shaded in blue there to signify some colder air that will come in. So 53 is our normal high, 58 today and 63 tomorrow. Looks lovely. And then behind that, we're cooler. Saturday, 54, 57 on Sunday and 54 on Monday. Those temperatures, again, not too far from normal. Krispy Kreme Challenge happens on Saturday. This is always a fun event. This is the one where folks start at the Bell Tower at NC State University and run down Hillsborough Street to the Krispy Kreme and end up eating about a dozen donuts. I mean, that's the idea. And then turn around and run back 2 more miles. Temperatures at the start of the race, not too bad, in the upper 30s. And if you're a spectator, it'll feel like 40s for most of the run there. Lots of sunshine, so it should be a good one for a Krispy Kreme Challenge. People like to dress up, and it's a fun event. We take a look at our 7-day forecast. Again, looking at some warmer temperatures the next couple of days. We have Groundhog Day on Friday. It does look like the groundhogs around our area will probably end up seeing their shadow. And we'll talk about what that means if you don't remember. But we'll also talk about scientifically what we could see for the month of February. We look at most of next week, or at least the first part of it, and our temperatures are looking on the cool side. The coolest day would be Tuesday at 48. We're seeing a few mornings that are below freezing as well. So it looks like it's going to feel like the winter for the next week or so.
Well, we'll have some more winter yet. Elizabeth, thanks. Today at 4, a Robeson County man whose home was damaged in Hurricane Florence is still waiting for help rebuilding. WRL's Gilbert Bays found out NC Rebuild had agreed to repair his home but backed out. Why the caseworker told them they aren't able to follow through on the contract.
And what's all the buzz around Buc-ee's? WRL wanted to find out all the ins and outs of the new Texas-based chain coming to Mebane and the hold it has on travelers. What is happening? 5 on your side tonight at 6. Live look at WRL Gardens right out back. Beautiful, just drenched in sunshine right now as you watch WRL News this noon. A bipartisan tax package that would temporarily expand the child tax credit and restore a number of business tax benefits is headed to the Senate. $78 billion deal would provide a larger credit in the first year to the lower income families of roughly 16 million children. The credit would be adjusted for inflation this year, which is expected to bump up the maximum credit to $2,100 per child next year, up from the current $2,000.
The FCC wants to make robocalls generated by artificial intelligence illegal. The agency has proposed the Telephone Consumer Protection Act include voice cloning technology used in common robocall scams targeting consumers illegal. The step would give state attorneys general legal tools to go after the people behind calls meant to confuse consumers. MasterCard is launching a new artificial intelligence model to allow banks to better assess suspicious transactions in real time. The new Decision Intelligence Pro is trained on data from the roughly 125 billion transactions that go through the company's network each year. The data will help AI understand relationships between merchants and predict where fraud is taking place. MasterCard claims the tech can help financial institutions improve their fraud detection rates by as much as 300% in some cases.
People might soon get a financial boost after enduring years of inflation. Why financial analysts believe an interest rate cut could be around the corner. Plus,
a secure password also does not involve your personal information.
Coming up, we'll share advice from industry experts for protecting your personal data online. Here's a look at the winning lottery numbers.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Good news could be on the horizon for millions of Americans. Some economists say the Federal Reserve is making them optimistic. Meanwhile, a tax break package is moving through Congress with fairly strong bipartisan support. Amy Kiley reports on what the latest economic news means for you.
This is a surprise to me, and it is a delightful surprise.
Some economists think Americans are in for a personal budget boost. The Federal Reserve is signaling it could cut interest rates in the near future. That's after months of hikes and yesterday's vote to hold steady.
We're looking at continuation of the good data that we've been seeing.
Fed Chair Jerome Powell says the board is feeling confident about inflation, but not too confident.
He's the Fed chair. He needs to be super duper careful. I only need to be somewhat careful, and so I'm going to say we've had a soft landing.
That means reducing the rate of inflation without triggering a recession.
Now, the question is, how close to that target, to that 2% rate, do we really need to get before the Fed feels comfortable cutting rates?
Powell says cuts probably won't start until after March, but rates on some loans are starting to come down already.
We've already seen mortgage rates come down a little bit in anticipation of those coming cuts.
Meanwhile, a $78 billion tax bill is heading to the Senate after clearing the House last night. It would expand the child tax credit and revive some expired corporate benefits. The bill has fairly strong bipartisan support that has some analysts feeling confident about its chances, but not too confident.
The tax bill has critics on both sides of the aisle. Some Democrats say it should do more for families. Some Republicans say it should do less. They argue it could disincentivize work. They also don't want more undocumented immigrants to claim the credit.
A state veterans home in Fayetteville will close today. The home is on Cochran Avenue behind the VA Medical Center on Ramsey Street. The last of 85 residents moved out yesterday. State leaders say the building has structural and environmental concerns brought on by drainage problems and a leaky roof. Lawmakers spent more than an hour Tuesday grilling a representative from the State Department of Military and Veteran Affairs. They want to know how a building that should have lasted at least 50 years is in such disrepair after 24 years.
Personally, want to take a deep dive look. I've requested every document, every repair order that's been ordered on that facility. I've got some drawings from the original, and I plan to assess it from that standpoint.
Lawmakers are holding another meeting on February 27th, and they have requested state engineers who have made assessments on that building to be there.
Good news for the family of fallen Raleigh police officer Gabriel Torres. His death has been determined to have happened in the line of duty. That means his family will get additional benefits. That's according to the Raleigh Police Protective Organization. Torres is one of five people who were killed in the Headingham mass shooting in October 2022. He was leaving for work when he was shot and killed in his neighborhood. In April, state lawmakers proposed the Gabe Torres Act, which would expand death benefits for public safety workers who are killed on route to, engaged in, or returning from duty or training. That bill remains in a state Senate committee. Businesses that are along the Newbern Avenue bus rapid transit corridor can learn more about the project today. A roundtable discussion is happening at 5:30 at Martin Street Baptist Church. Experts from the City of Raleigh and the Raleigh Chamber of Commerce will answer questions from small business owners. You can register to attend on the Raleigh Chamber website.
Durham is celebrating 100 years of parks and recreation, and they want your help to design a cover for their Play More guide. They're looking for young creative minds to share their best artwork inspired by the centennial event. That means photographers, graphic designers, cartoonists, you name it. The best design will be chosen for the cover later this year, and three winners will be selected. For entry details, visit the Parks and Rec website.
Animal surrenders have resumed at the Wake County Animal Center with new requirements. The center stopped taking surrenders last month after being over capacity for 2 years. Owners giving up their pets will have to apply and make an appointment first. The shelter hopes this will alleviate overcrowding and the need to euthanize animals. It will also help the center connect pet owners with resources to avoid having to surrender their animals in some situations.
When was the last time you changed your security passwords? Why you need to change them often and a secure way to remember all those passwords.
Plus, are energy drinks safe for kids and teens? The research that points to health drawbacks for those 16 and under. Our team is working to bring you exclusive stories for coverage you'll find only on WRAL. Go to WRAL.com and search only.
And happening right now in the WRAL Live Center, some breaking news. We just got this in the last 30 minutes. PNC Arena is generating hundreds of millions of dollars for Wake County. A new economic impact study shows that 1.6 million people attended a Hurricanes game, an NC State basketball game, a concert, or any other event in the 2022-23 season. The arena generated more than $590 million for Wake County. PNC opened back in 1999. It is expected to go under a major renovation, a $300 million renovation next year.
If you haven't changed your passwords in a while, now may be a good time to do it. Today happens to be National Change Your Password Day.
And with the increase in online transactions and activities, a security breach could lead to your data ending up in the hands of people who could misuse it. Jeff Paul has what you need to know to keep your information safe.
Some Americans change their online passwords like clockwork.
I change my passwords every week, probably like every 4 months.
But for others, that's not the case.
I have the same password that I did when I was in third grade.
I got the same password for everything. It's probably bad.
Every time we log on to a website, we're sharing our personal data, making us more and more vulnerable to hackers.
Companies collect a trove of different data about consumers. Every click we make in an online purchase, every search we make for a product or on a topic, companies are tracking that, and they're using that data for a number of different purposes.
And with a hacking attack every 39 seconds, frequently changing your passwords is the best way to safeguard your personal information. Oftentimes, people aren't even aware their data has been compromised. Jenny Foss from the Consumer Reports Innovation Lab recommends not only changing passwords often, but having different ones for each account you create, making sure each is unique.
A secure password is long, and a secure password also does not involve your personal information. So some people are tempted to put things like names or birthdays in their password to make them easier to remember. But those sorts of details are the kinds of things that can fall into the wrong hands in a data breach situation.
However, if you're concerned about forgetting all your complicated passwords, don't write them down. Instead, use a password manager to generate and store these important codes. Foss says another safeguard is to take control over your digital life by identifying which companies have your information. One way is using an app like Consumer Reports Permission Slip, which allows you to manage your information with more than 100 companies.
Jeff Paul reporting, and more than a dozen states have enacted privacy legislation regulating how companies manage and protect your data, and several other states are weighing similar bills like that as well. Some of those folks are vigilant every other week, every other month, things like that.
Who's that person who changes it every week? I'm rather impressed. But for longer passwords, you know, I know that can be hard to remember. Kind of use like a sentence. Yeah. If you type out a sentence, that'll help you remember. Well, for years, researchers have advised parents not to give kids and teens energy drinks. Now there's new reason as to why children should avoid them altogether.
Well, so not even old enough to drive, but some tweens are already using products designed to prevent wrinkles. Why? One expert says the practice could lead to bigger problems.
We have spectacular sunshine all across the state. Let's take you to Carolina Beach. Look at this live view. Still beautiful in the off season. You're watching WRAL News, available on YouTube TV and the WRAL app on your TV or streaming device.
Experts say they found another potential symptom of a chronic condition affecting women. Polycystic ovary syndrome is caused by a hormonal imbalance in women. Some women experience symptoms like acne, excess body hair, and infertility. Now, research reveals some women will also endure cognitive decline later in life. World Health Organization believes the condition affects about 10% of females worldwide, and there is no cure. Researchers are calling on governments to ban sales of energy drinks to children under 16. A recent study examined data from over a million children around the world who consumed energy drinks, and they found children who drank energy drinks had a higher risk of ADHD, depression, anxiety, and suicidal thoughts.
The tween skincare craze is taking over social media and the beauty aisle, with kids stocking up on skincare products before middle school. The trend raises red flags for both parents and dermatologists. Christina Coleman has advice from an expert.
Let's do my skincare.
Beauty is only skin deep, and for a younger generation of Americans, they are focusing on fresh faces. An increasing number of tweens are becoming obsessed with the multi-step skincare routines they're seeing on social media. The youngest generation taking over the cosmetic aisles and flocking to stores like Sephora and Ulta to stock up on a bunch of beauty products.
I use a cleanser, then three moisturizers, a serum, like a facial spray, and an overnight mask, and an eye cream.
11-year-old Leron Neve does a roughly 10-minute regimen every night before bed and a slightly different version of the same process when she wakes up in the morning. Like many her age, the routine inspired by social media.
It became like a trend, but I mostly do it to take care of my skin.
However, not all products are designed for their young skin. Board-certified dermatologist Dr. Nkem Ugonabo says it's still too soon to know if using these products at an early age will lead to irreversible skin problems. But for now, they could be facing a range of issues.
The more unnecessary products you have in your routine, the more opportunities there are for things to go wrong. And that could be like acne breakouts, irritation, but could also be as intense as, you know, damage to the skin barrier and the skin health overall.
Dr. Ugonabo, who has young patients with complex routines, understands the draw for preteens, but suggests paring it down to three simple steps.
Having a gentle cleanser, a moisturizer, and a sunscreen. That sunscreen should have an SPF of at least 30.
While she has mixed feelings on the tween beauty craze, it can be turned into a teaching opportunity.
You can take advantage of their enthusiasm and just kind of steer it in the direction of focusing on healthy skin and not just like fun skin products or complicated skin products for the heck of it.
Yeah, no 11-year-old needs serums or eye creams. That was Christina Coleman. Dr. warns that using products with harsh ingredients like chemical acids or retinols, anti-aging stuff, can be harmful on young skin.
Let's go back to that sunscreen topic for today, because we have such a sunny day out there. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRI Severe Weather Center. We saw that shot from the beach, and now we bring it back to the triangle here. Still sun.
Oh, so beautiful out there. It was a live look at Goldsboro and Apex. A couple little clouds are starting to pop up in Goldsboro, but for the most part, it'll be mainly sunny today. It was Chapel Hill, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant. And, of course, our newsroom there at Fayetteville getting a little sprucing up with a little paint there this afternoon. 48 is our temperature up in Roxboro, as well as Rocky Mount, 53 in Goldsboro, 52 in Southern Pines, 53 in Fayetteville and Clinton. So our temperatures are definitely feeling comfortable out there with some sunshine. Here's what happens tomorrow. We talked about that front that's going to drop in on us. This is early tomorrow morning. The rest of today stays mostly sunny. We'll have a little bit of cloud cover around lunchtime or so when that front drops in on us, and maybe a bit in the afternoon as well. We're not likely to see rain out of this. There's a little bit of green that shows up here in eastern North Carolina, a little bit closer to the coast. Behind it, we'll see temperatures dropping a little bit for the weekend. So here's how it looks starting today with our high of 58, 63 for Friday. It looks lovely. Saturday, 54, and then 57 on Sunday. So a little bit cooler Saturday and Sunday, but with some sunshine, it should still feel fairly pleasant. Groundhog Day is tomorrow, and it is likely that the groundhogs will see their shadow. And of course, folklore says six more weeks of winter if the groundhogs see their shadow on Groundhog Day. No shadow indicates an early spring. And so it's always fun to talk about the groundhogs. Tomorrow morning, we'll be watching Punxsutawney Phil. And of course, we have Snurd the groundhog here in Garner. At lunchtime tomorrow, 60 under partly cloudy skies. So we can assume that we're looking at six more weeks of winter, according to folklore. But how about some real science to go along with that? We use our computer models to give us an idea of what may be happening in the future. You hear us talk about those. We do a 7-day forecast. We don't often talk about what's going to happen for an entire month, because our models are based on what's happening right now with the weather. The farther we get away from today, the less accurate they are. So when we take a look at an entire month like this, we're looking at trends. So not specific temperatures, but it looks like it could be above normal for much of the month of February across the northern part of the country. For us, it looks like we will likely be somewhere near normal. It doesn't mean that we won't have some fluctuations with temperatures above and below, but for the month as a whole, we're looking at the potential for near normal temperatures. So that might make us think, yeah, some more winter on our way. How how about this for some winter? Appalachian Ski Mountain, Beach Mountain, and Sugar Mountain, all up near Boone. And then Winter Place here in West Virginia, looking fantastic. They've had some very good conditions for most of the winter. If you're planning to head up to ski over the weekend, highs will be in the mid to upper 40s in the northern mountains, southern mountains. Bryson City looking nice and mild at 61. We're looking at dry conditions for Saturday and Sunday. If you're going to be skiing, it looks pretty good. Beach forecast, not bad either. Plenty of sunshine all weekend, but of course, a little on the cool side with 40s and 50s on Saturday and Sunday up and down the coast. Again, tomorrow's a nice one at 63. After that, we're a little bit cooler for the weekend, but sunshine all the way through the middle of next week.
Thanks, Elizabeth. A little boy was searching for toys while his dad was shopping, and he ended up stuck inside a claw machine. We'll tell you how police managed to get the little guy out.
With the claw thing right there.
Pick him up.
Here's a look at the winning Powerball numbers.
As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today. Raleigh police say a juvenile was injured in a shooting around 10:30 this morning off Atlantic Avenue. Sky 5 flew over an apartment complex near Otter's Run Court, which is close to where Atlantic intersects with Spring Forest. Officers say the young man who was shot went to the hospital. He is expected to be okay. The suspected shooter is in custody.
Breaking news in just the last 30 minutes. We've learned PNC Arena is generating hundreds of millions of dollars for Wake County. A new economic impact study is being shared at this hour with PNC stakeholders. It shows 1.6 million people attended Hurricanes games, NC State basketball, or concerts or other events in the 2022-23 season. The arena generated more than $590 million for the county. PNC Arena opened in 1999 and is set to undergo a $300 million renovation next year.
This morning, the Carolina Panthers introduced their new head coach to the media, Dave Canales. The 42-year-old spoke to reporters for the first time at 10 this morning, saying he is ready to hit the ground running. Canales is taking over a team that won only two games in the last season. Before accepting the job, Canales was working with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as their offensive coordinator.
Your preference between Starbucks and Dunkin' Donuts may come down to where you live. A real estate data company, Clever, used internet search locations to gauge the popularity of each joint. Turns out it's East Coast, West Coast rivalry when it comes down to it. The top cities for Starbucks lovers, Sacramento, Los Angeles, Riverside, California, San Diego, Seattle, Washington. Now, the top five for Dunkin' lovers, Providence, Rhode Island, Hartford, Connecticut, Boston, Baltimore, and Chicago.
A little boy was searching for toys when he accidentally got stuck inside a claw machine. Three-year-old Ethan Hopper crawled through the prize slot into a Hello Kitty claw machine at a shopping center in Australia. His father called police, but he said his son was having a great time inside the toy machine until officers got there. Oh, officer shattered the glass to get him out. Yeah. An officer joked, "You want a prize? Which one do you want?" And Dad says, "This one."
Take freedom. Our pet of the day is a super playful girl just waiting to make you giggle. This is Maisel. Fluffy 2-year-old weighs in at 39 pounds. Maisel knows sit and paw and may still have some more tricks up her sleeve. She's being treated for heartworm disease, but will soon be heartworm free. Maisel is good with children, likes some dogs, but not others. She is also house trained and walks well on a leash. For more information about Maisel, you can visit spcawake.org.
Can't help but smile when you look at her. Right. The future of brain implants coming up today at 4. We take a closer look at how the technology could one day benefit people who are otherwise unable to move or communicate. Thanks for spending your lunch hour with us. NBC News Daily is next on WRAL. Your next local news update in 30 minutes.
You get breaking news updates anytime with our WRAL News app. Have a great day.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.